Welcome to the Brian Foltis Behavioral Finance Podcast, where we unravel the mysteries of behavioral finance and unlock the secrets to making smarter, more informed decisions with your money. Now, here's your host, Dr. Brian Foltis.
Welcome, everybody, to the Brian Foltis Behavioral Finance Podcast. Did you all hear the jingle? I have to add a jingle now. We got a jingle, and it's on. So welcome, everybody. We are back, and today we are bringing in Mandy, don't call me Amanda, Foltis, into the fray to talk about combining finances. Hello.
Hi.
We are back in from spring break, and it is Friday night. A couple of drinks have flown.
That's
so
right.
Just the gears have been juiced or greased. So
yes.
We're just sitting here talking about finances. So kind of what this is going to be like, we did have our finance talk-ish where we had some things to talk about yesterday, but it's kind of due for usually what would have been our normal finance talk. But today we're going to talk about our past, how we got here today, and our paths that kind of brought us together were totally different. And in the last episode, I actually talked about my standpoint, how it looked like from my standpoint, and then how, in my own words, how we were dealing with finances and how we're thinking about our future. But I wanted to bring you in and talk about what you thought about it. And we've got to go back now about 2.5 years to, you know, the first time we met. And so kind of tell everybody how you got to that point and where you were at as far as life and what that was like.
Oh, gosh, that's a loaded question.
It's a lot.
Okay, where do you want me to start? Like, literally our first date?
Yeah, we could go there. So that would be August 11th.
Or where I was at before you.
I want you to think about, like, yeah, so give us a quick glimpse of you've been married before,
mm-hmm.
no kids,
mm-hmm.
and so you were divorced when?
2019.
Yeah. Okay, so pre-COVID. So then kind of take us from there and then trying to figure out where you are and then bring us to August 11th.
Well, let's see. I guess the best headline you could give it is hot disaster mess. Of finances, no clue what I was doing, hadn't been raised with any kind of information on that, and I would actually stray from it. It was not something I was comfortable with at all. Didn't want to talk to anybody about it. I thought it was a very private thing, and I was looking for ways out of the mess that I was in. So let's make a really long story short. When I met you, I had been in the operating room for a long time. I was a tech first and then a nurse, and I had entered into the world of travel nursing, which we all know it was very lucrative at the time of COVID, and that's when I jumped into it, 2020. I was starting to work my way out of debt. When I met you, I had paid off all my credit cards, and I actually had like money in the bank for the first time in my life. And then I met you, and pretty much everything changed after that. It was uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It was uncomfortable in the beginning.
Well, isn't this what most people do? And when we just avoid it. And this is what I've noticed with people talking about money, that people in general, if they're not doing well, they'll just avoid the topic in general. And so even when I'm putting out content and trying to help people, I sometimes go, what am I doing with this? Because all I'm speaking to are the people who are just wanting confirmation of what they're already doing. And so
yes.
I really want to help people who don't want to have a conversation, who should, and try to make it less scary. But that was kind of like where you were in that group where you didn't.
100%. Yeah. I didn't want to talk about it. I was uncomfortable. I would physically start sweating at some points, you know, just being anxious and nervous about it, not feeling very smart, not educated, but also I didn't want to be. I would have rather just kind of buried my head about it, I think, you know, than jump into a conversation about it, especially with a finance professor. I was like, this guy's going to think I'm a total idiot, you know?
So, yes, take us to that first date now, because, you know, I'm just going in. Just, this was my first date. And,
oh, that's right. Well, I hadn't. You should clarify. That was your first online date of all time. Mm-hmm. I am now your wife. So.
Yep. One for one. And so I was just like, oh, fine. But, you know, we're sitting down, we're talking. And I remember we hit it off right away and we didn't even order a drink for like the first 45 minutes and we're talking. And so tell me though, when you realized what I did for my vocation, what were some of the first thoughts?
Oof. Very first thought, I was like, this is never going to work. This is never going to work. Like, there's no way. And, you know, you think uptight, unapproachable, very regiment, like things that I don't want. And I was already nervous to have somebody kind of in my business like that. And I was like, you know, I'm making really great strides for myself for the first time. And I don't know how I feel about somebody coming in and like, you know, he's going to want to know all the things, right? Like, you're very exposed. It's a very vulnerable topic. And so I had all of those thoughts flowing in. But also, I mean, you're not a typical professor. When even the way that you look, I wouldn't have looked at you and thought, oh, yeah, you know, I would have never guessed. So you are kind of unusual in that sense. But yeah, I feel like.
Yeah. Okay.
Things obviously went in my favor. Like,
time will tell. No, I think, yeah, for sure. And I think, of course, I don't fit the stereotypical mold, I think. And no, I hope not.
Absolutely.
That's not the point. I try to be approachable and try to
be
down to earth and well rounded. And
yeah,
if I don't look like a normal. Well, professor, that's fine with me too.
You weren't so stuffy around it, you know, like people are just like, here's the way to do things and you have to do it this way, and they kind of like choke you out.
Yeah.
And I have not gotten that vibe off of you ever.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of key also.
Yeah. Okay, so real high level, take us back to how the first marriage finances went.
Oof, rough. Okay. We never combined anything. It was very mine versus his. He refused to even tell me how much money he made. I didn't know. I knew nothing. All I knew is mine. And we were so divided that when I went back to school, he was like, that's on you, basically. Like, I had to find my own way. I had to figure it out. And it was essentially just a roommate situation, not real productive.
So, like, did you split bills and groceries and stuff like that?
Yes.
Wow.
Oh, yes. So there would be like, hey, babe, I went to Kroger and I bought $87 worth of groceries. You owe me.
That's got to be $43.50 right down the center.
Right down the center.
Yeah.
Right down
no
the
rounding.
Center, which is so odd. I mean, I don't know if this is happening for other people. It's not normal. Doesn't have to be that way, you know, if that's happening to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the way. And so, but like going way back when I was raised, like nobody ever talked to me about this stuff. So I didn't know what was normal versus.
Yeah,
you
same.
Know.
We don't know. We're just a product of our environment for the most part. And when we don't talk about it, we continue to not talk about it. And we just do whatever the default is. Well, you know, and I love a good low reference point, a low bar from your past. So keep those expectations low. I can only exceed them at this point. And, but yeah, it's a really interesting perspective where you had come from and how it's, you know, the debate goes on whether you combine finances or you keep them separated. But when you have such a divided household, that just leads to this anti-partnership and not communicating or working as a team, which is what marriage should be, and working towards something together. And so again, just speaks in favor of combining finances and working together on this. So I think that's where we're going with this, but it's really interesting to see the past and how that all plays out.
Plus that like elevates the level of anxiety that you have going into something new with somebody.
Oh, for sure.
You're just like, what is this going to be? I'm so scared. Like I had so much fear around it.
Yeah. So you had first impressions that this is not going to work. I'm trying to remember, and I don't know this off the top of my head, but when was the first time I started drilling into some finance topics?
I know that one. You don't know that one?
No.
Oh. He was like, I have a surprise for you. But pack your bags because we're going out of town. And this was very shortly after starting dating. And I, you know, had the whole like, is this guy a serial killer kind of thought. I was like, you know, posting my location with friends, letting my mom know what's going on, all of those kind of things. Because this was like a month in. And all we did, we're from Central Indiana. We went to Southern Indiana and we went to a nice distillery down there. We had a good time. But we had some like real, like the real conversations.
Yeah. So I feel like I've touched around the surface on some money topics before that, because we had done some heavy conversations around religion and different ideologies and thoughts and different worldviews. And so I know that finance must have really, we must have scratched the surface a little bit there. But I think, yeah, the deep talks of money issues, and for me, it was my past and the mistakes that I had made and really owning up to that. And so those were the deep talks that we were having. And so that was when you kind of showed that you had your car payment. And
I think you had asked me, like you said, before that, base level, do you have a car payment? Do you have student loan debt? Do you have credit card debt? And it was just yes, no answers. And it wasn't amount. Or really deeper questions about what I wanted to do with my finances in life. Like, what are my goals, basically?
Yeah. Okay, so on that trip, though, you did lay out some, we got numbers around it. We understood.
This is
where we were at. And you had, remind me, so if you're willing to share.
I don't think I want to.
No. This has a happy ending.
Ish. We're not even done yet.
No, we still have some on the books, don't we?
We are still working.
We still have student loans on the books.
Yeah.
So that'll be in our next podcast where we talk about the present. And so we're not in the clear yet.
Right.
But tell me, like, where were you at when this first started?
Let's see. I was a 2018 graduate of nursing school. And I graduated with approximately, let's just say $68,000 in student loan debt.
Yep.
It was a lot. By the time I met you, I was, I had paid a little bit.
Yeah.
A little. What do you think I was at?
A 60 is kind of what I want to say. Maybe a little bit less. But it was a fairly.
58,000 maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It was a fairly substantial number though.
Right. Because I had paid off like a ton of credit card debt. I had acquired my vehicle for travel nursing.
Yeah.
Probably paid too much for it, but we love it. Yeah. So I had
and then how much was
in the
on
bank.
That? I want to say somewhere between, I want to say it's still like 25 or 28 on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's fair. That's fair.
So all in though, you're still at about 80, 90,000.
It was a lot.
In debt.
Yeah.
And so I know that I had my really harsh stance on that, where I said, we're not getting married until you get rid of all of your debt. And that was that.
Of which we did not have that conversation 4 weeks in, but.
No, that was not the conversation, but that was definitely the thought. And I was like, nope. And it was like, I wanted to see at that moment, how it was going to play out mm-hmm. because you were making good money. The opportunity was there, but then some of the changes kind of needed to mm-hmm. to happen. I wanted to see some, more or less, some evidence of that. And I think it was going to be good for you anyway to work it out. You had the intention of doing it, but I think at that time really weren't sure how, or you just knew you're just making a ton of money and that it was just, sometimes it just bubbles over and you can still spend and all these things.
I think my mindset behind it was different than yours. And actually we tend to differ, as most couples do, right? Mm-hmm. You are in a big, huge rush to get it gone. Work hard, get rid of it. Go, go, go. It's got to be the first thing. And I'm more of a, I'm going to pay a chunk here and then I'm going to enjoy life. And then I'm going to pay a chunk there and I'm going to enjoy life. A slower progression.
Yeah.
So we've kind of had to merge our mindsets.
We have. We've had to calibrate that. And for, so you can even see this conflict, this healthy conflict of me wanting just so, you know, numbers based and so focused on everything that I sometimes forget to actually enjoy life or to just,
right.
relax for a second. Right. And you were on the other end of the spectrum. And by the way, most couples when they marry are like this. And the further you get on, you know, the nerd spectrum, the other one tends to be on the other end of that free spirit spectrum. So this is nothing new, but this is literally, that's why I'm having Mandy on the show to talk through these things so we can hear what an actual couple sounds like when we're working through this. And my point though, that I was saying was that you've been really helpful to me to just sometimes chill out and to show that, hey, if you spend a little extra on some higher quality things, you can actually enjoy it more, especially stuff that you use. And there's some practicality to it. And I'm going, oh, wow, why was I holding back on this stuff? And in the name of saving it. And so it's really helped me as well. So we're going to, now we're down the path, we're going through here. Then at what point did I make you make a budget? Oh. Because I feel like I pushed my Foltis lifetime savings program on you at some point. Did. So tell me about that.
It was very early on, to be honest. And I was like, what the hell is this spreadsheet? Like, what is this? It seemed, I'm not a math person. I am not math minded. I get overwhelmed with it very quickly and I just glaze. Like I am like glazing hard at you, just like bah, 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 talking to me about, and you're so excited. I love that, for you, but it just wasn't for me. So I'm like, all right, I guess I just like enter my stuff into this and I don't know what all the formulas do and what these numbers mean, but like, okay, here's my budget. And I feel like that happened after I got the condo. So like, I started renting a condo a few months after we started dating because I realized, oh, I'm going to be sticking around town because I want to date this guy. I want to see where this goes. So I was like, all right, how do you feel about me like renting my own place? Because otherwise I was just like headed out for more travel nursing.
Yeah.
But I guess I fancied you, so I wanted to see where that was going to go. And I feel like after I started having, you know, rental and payments and this and that, you quickly got me on the Brian Foltis budget expo over there.
Yeah. And so from my standpoint, and I'm not surprised by this because I saw this as a perfect opportunity. Because you were making such good money, and if you just had a purpose around it, then there was a real opportunity. And so I really was fighting for you, trying to get this done. And just to see you put it on paper, go, look, this is what you can actually do, and here's how the numbers will work. But then you have to track it. And so you were making progress. You could see the numbers, So tell me about your first thoughts about the numbers and then also about the tracking of these things.
It was absolutely terrifying. Terrifying. I did not want to do it. I didn't want to know. I was absolutely blissful over in this area of, I don't know, but I'm saving a little money, so everything's fine. Like, I'm fine. I feel good. But it turns out once I got started, you see where you're over, and but then you immediately start doing the cheat, right?
Oh, yeah.
The cheat.
Start moving it to other categories, the expenses.
Absolutely. I was like, oh, gift. I gifted myself $87 at TJ Maxx this week. You know, I learned a lot about myself, and I think that's what it was, is like, my biggest thing with it was you weren't shaming me for anything. You were just trying to teach me. You were trying to show me where my money is going. And that's the real purpose behind it, is what am I spending money on? Because I'm absolutely clueless right now.
Yeah.
I had no idea how much I was really spending on food, which is ridiculous for me because I'm gluten-free. So that's a big deal. But then also my shopping habits and just all the stuff I thought I had to have that I really honestly don't. Like, I think I was just trying to like fulfill my life in other ways, or I was bored, or I, you know, whatever the case. And I'm like, oh, I'm making all this money. Yeah. You know, treat yourself, girl. Like, treat yourself. I just.
Yeah. Ignore, avoid. Like, yes, that's what most people do anyway.
All the things. Yeah.
Somehow it.
But once I learned that you weren't going to get upset with me for like overspending in a category, you'd just be like, all right, like now your attention's drawn to that. You understand what's going on. Like, how can you do things a little bit better? And just your approach with it was pretty much everything. It was everything. And yeah. I started to understand it from a different approach. And then I would be second guessing, like, all right, do I really need this furry blanket? I already have
a couple.
16 dozen furry blankets in my house. And yes, I love this, but like, do I really need that? Is that going to bring me satisfaction? Or is it another thing that I have to book? And then things quickly became about booking it for me.
Yeah. And so, yeah, that's a mechanism in place, and we don't want to be judgmental around that. But then I think one of the things is like your progress. So once you start doing these things, the progress starts, you get a taste of it. So what was that like for you?
That one's a little bit harder, to be honest. I think the progress would have looked really fabulous. However, we took like a 6-week vacation to Europe and we spent a lot of money, but I had never done anything like that in my life. We had this big opportunity to do it and we did it. I don't regret it for a second. Could we be far, far advanced? Yes, we could. However, things were popping at that point with travel nursing. I was making the most I've ever made in my life. We were going to recoup it. But then once we came back, we moved in together. Mm-hmm. We got finances under control. I was able to pay off chunks of student loan debt, chunks. And it felt really good. Like, I don't think I would have been in that spot had I been on my own. This would have been a much longer project. It would have been, you know, 5,000 here, 5,000 there. And I probably would have felt pretty good about it. But there's something different about like paying off massive chunks of debt. And I paid off my car.
Yeah.
That felt so good. It felt so, there's nothing like it.
Yeah. Yeah. So that car's been paid off now for you. Attacked that thing.
I did.
Aggressively. And that's been paid off for a long time now, it seems.
Right.
And
I was a car, I'm like a car person.
Yeah.
I want a nice car. I feel like I've changed a lot in that department.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I love my car. I want to drive it till the wheels fall off. And I've never felt that way in my life.
Yeah.
And it's because it's paid paid off. Like, it's mine.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And I'd fight you tooth and nail for that anyway, if you're going to try to do that. But no, it's been quite a progression. And I think, what are we down to now for loans? Is it like 33, 32?
It's 32.
Yeah. So yeah. Cars paid off. We've got 32 in student loans on the books.
Right.
We could probably write that off today if we wanted to, but I think we'll just build a plan, or we have a plan built that can get
as
those student loans. As
yeah.
of yesterday, as mm-hmm. we talked about it, that will get us to get that off, just out of our lives mm-hmm. in a pretty quick and efficient manner.
Right.
And then anything else after that now just goes into investing and saving and fun stuff, really.
Yeah.
So, well, that was really good. And I think that gives us a nice picture of the past. So the next episode, we're going to talk about future, or the present and the future. And that's going to take us to our conversations that we have to, I don't know, we say every month. Does it happen? How often does it happen?
No, it doesn't. Actually, what's funny is me being the like anti-math, I don't want to talk about this stuff kind of person. I feel like I've been actually pressing you right lately yeah. to be like, let's have these conversations. Let's talk more about this. I don't understand that. Like, it's kind of funny.
Mm-hmm.
It's, I want to learn more.
All right. Well, let's pick that up in the next episode. Thank you, Mandy, for being on here. Love you. And happy to have you on here. And let's kick it over to the outro. Have a good one, everyone. See ya.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Brian Foltis Behavioral Finance Podcast. We hope you found our exploration into the fascinating world of human behavior and finance both enlightening and thought-provoking. Be sure to subscribe for future episodes. And until next time, stay curious and financially savvy.